As one who recently took elementary age students to Hershey Park, I totally understand James and John. I want to be first in line! But I have to believe that Jesus' line to them, saying that they don't know what they're asking for, is true. And I think it's a very human tendency to want to be first. We live in an age and a culture where we put our kids first, we put their education first, and we put all this weight on them. That we live in this society where we reward those who come in first, but not so much those who come in last or least. Our society is set up in realms of glory, really. And Jesus' words to the disciples that day and to us is that maybe life in the kingdom, life in the dream of God, is not necessarily set up that way. Jesus' whole life was, in his earthly ministry while he was with us on this earth, showed us what it's like to live as a servant of all. And so I can't really fault James and John. I mean, here they are experiencing this transformative person in their life, much in the way Jesus transforms our life, that they wanted to be a part of that. And so they said, Lord, let us sit at your right and your left in your glory, because we like what's going on here. This is turning the world upside down, and we want to be part of that. Now, here's the trouble. They're setting their sights on the wrong thing. So they asked to be on the left and the right. And for those of us who know this story, we know where this story is going with Jesus because we recount it every Holy Week. We call it the Passion of Christ. And there on Calvary, we see who is really at his right and at his left. For there he is crucified with the criminals on his left and his right. So I don't think James, the sons of Zebedee, had any idea what they were asking for. And yet, even in the anguish of Calvary and Good Friday, is the power of God's forgiveness, grace, and love. Because Jesus looked at these criminals and said, you too will be with me in paradise today. That God's transformative power of reconciliation and grace infuses even the worst that this world can throw at it. So when it comes to our own greed and pride sometimes, God still works redemption. And so Jesus turns their pride of wanting to sit at the right and the left into an opportunity to teach about what it really means to win in the kingdom of God. Or in God's dream for this world, it's about service. And so I find it amazing that today we also get to celebrate a baptism, because in baptism, our vocation as servants begins. That there in the waters of baptism, God claims you as a servant in the kingdom. There in the waters of baptism, the Holy Spirit infuses you with gifts of the Spirit, gifts to bring life to a weary world. And so I find it fitting that we get to celebrate that here today. And our texts are intertwined with images of baptism too. When we read the Isaiah text, it echoes for me the story of the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading that bit of passage that he was silent before his shearers as one who was outside the faith, who didn't know much about this story of salvation that comes to us through the Passion of Christ, through Christ's servant life for us. We have life eternal. And so there, as Philip comes up to the eunuch and says, yes, you too can be part of this new life, and baptizes him there on the road outside of Jerusalem. And so for us in all of this is at the heart of who we are as baptized people. Now, for us in our congregation, we've started to explore our life of vocation and calling in the world. Some of us are beginning to do the work in our Life of Faith initiative and looking at all the ways that we as a congregation can equip you to be servant leaders. And that's already starting to germinate in our congregation in pretty profound and amazing ways as we help you live out the promises in your baptism to be servants in the world wherever you are. Because this is the irony, is that sometimes we think that serving those in need is only when we do things as part of the structured programs of the congregation. Well, not necessarily. You're called to serve in your everyday life, whether that's holding a door at Wawa, which seems to be the unspoken ritual around here, or whether you're helping your kids do their homework, or whether you're helping a colleague at work with a project, or whether you're sharing with a family member who's going through a really difficult time. Or maybe you're praying for your neighbor, or maybe you're walking with your friend whose marriage is ending. These are all sacred things that we do as servants because we know what it's like to put the needs of others in front of our own. That's what God has called us to. That's what Jesus invites us into, that servant leadership to follow, where it's not about us and our glory. And there's a lot of Christianity out there that says it is about your glory and about how much you are righteous in God's eyes. But the truth is that God has glorified us on the cross and what God has done for us through baptism, that we then are commissioned to be servants in the world, to live among God's faithful people, to hear God's word and share in the supper, to serve all people following the example of Christ, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. These are the promises that are made in Harry's life today, and for all of us in our baptism, as we are called to be servant leaders for a world that so desperately needs our help. There's an awful lot of need out there in our world today, and we are called to be there, to be Christ's hands and feet for the world, not because we need it or Jesus needs it, but because our neighbors are in need. Amen.